Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now is Dr. Ranjit Kudali. He's the Dean of the Graduate School and Professor of Chemistry at the University of South Dakota. Joins us each month to discuss the latest in research in chemistry. Dr. K, happy to have you back today.
Oh, good afternoon, Kara. It's great to be back.
So it's grilling season, so that's going to be the topic of the day, and so why is it important, chemistry and grilling? Let's start there. Carcinogens.
Absolutely. Yep. So now that summer is officially here, I thought we'll take a topic that ties in food and chemistry. And I was intrigued, Kara, to see a news release by the American Chemical Society regarding the use of some naturally occurring materials for removing some chemicals, known carcinogens and potential carcinogens that are generated when we smoke food items.
Okay, and so this has been known, and so how easy is it to know what is a carcinogen and isn't a carcinogen when you grow and smoke?
Yeah, so this work primarily it's coming from the United Kingdom, was looking at how do we mitigate the exposure of harmful chemicals. These are a class of chemicals called polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, and they're called PAHs. And so people who are smoking cigarettes and burning tobacco and chewing tobacco, they're exposed to these PAHs. And these have been proven in animal models and in humans, and are documented to be responsible for a variety of cancers, particularly those of the liver and lungs. And that's why people who smoke cigarettes and tobacco products have dispositions for liver and lung cancer. So these are derived from the generation of these class of materials called PAHs. There are hundreds of these polyaromatic hydrocarbons that are generated during any smoking process, or even burning wood or anything that contains lignin, for example, and plant materials. And so there is an agency, Kara, called the International Agency for Research on Cancer, and they have done diligent research to look at the causes of cancer, including biological, genetic, chemical, and they have classified materials to several groups. So the group one carcinogen are what are called as known human carcinogens, and a class of materials called benzopyrenes, BAPs, are actually generated during these smoking processes. And then there are the next lower level of carcinogens that are classified as group 2A or group 2B by the IARC, and these are probable or possible carcinogens. There is correlation, but no causation. But then people are advised to avoid exposure to this group 2A or 2B carcinogen. So this is all coming from decades of research, peer-reviewed publications, and oversight from the International Agency for Research on Cancer.
So are we talking about using charcoal or using wood chips, this type of smoking products?
Oh, great. So when you talk about smokers as in an equipment, we could have electric, charcoal, gas, and wood. And in this study, particularly, the focus was on using wood as the fuel. And so one of the reasons is that when you burn wood, it has got its own characteristic taste that is a combination of something that is spicy, sweet, that has this burnt tar, like potent smell that leads to a unique taste for barbecuing, ribs, etc. And so the focus on this work was looking exclusively on wood chips when they are used as fuel in smokers.
Okay. And so can the same thing be said for like sitting around in a fire pit and burning wood as well? Or is it more for how you ingesting food?
Well, the main concern is there is trying to minimize the exposure to this known human carcinogen. So when you burn wood material, it generates, you're burning essentially lignin. And these have a lot of carbon-carbon bonds, and you're trying to burn them in the presence of air and oxygen. And during this heating or combustion process, you're generating a variety of organic compounds, some having oxygen atoms, some not having. And so there are hundreds of these polyaromatic hydrocarbons that are generated when we just burn wood in a home, in a furnace, or outside in a pit. And so the factors that come into play are the type of material, wood, that is being burnt, the temperature to which this wood is being raised to, and depending on the temperature, the type of wood, and its composition, a variety of different chemicals are actually generated in the smoke. And we have to be aware of the fact that some of these, especially group 1 carcinogens, are particularly harmful, and their exposure is not good for human beings.
So the study then found a way to filter out the carcinogens a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had mentioned these group 1 carcinogens, which are known and proven to cause cancer in humans, and those are the particular class of materials called benzopyrene, or abbreviated as BAP, that need to be paid attention to. But the European Food Safety Authority has also recommended that in addition to this, there are 3 other chemicals that are also belonging to this class of polyaromatic hydrocarbons that one have to minimize exposure to. So essentially in this work, the authors, what they try to do is look for some naturally occurring materials that can adsorb these smoke and reduce these polyaromatic hydrocarbons. And what they found was that since the polyaromatic hydrocarbons are a class of materials containing hundreds of compounds, when they looked at several kinds by doing some very sophisticated spectrometric techniques, they found that in general that the concentrations of several polyaromatic hydrocarbons dropped by as much as 70%, but most importantly, the benzopyrene, the BAH, which is a known human carcinogen, dropped by as much as 93%.
So there's a difference in here, but what does that really mean when I, want to grill steaks tonight?
So what they essentially said is this material that they used is actually a naturally occurring mineral. It goes by a technical name called clinoptilolite, and it's actually a naturally occurring material that has silicon atoms, aluminum atoms, and sodium, potassium, calcium. So it's a natural mineral, actually, in South Dakota. We have it in the western parts of the region. It's typically found in sedimentary rocks, volcanic ash, etc. So it's relatively inexpensive, cheap. It can be mined, and it's actually used in many agricultural operations to filter out urea and other waste. So this material is a well-known, documented material by geologists, mineralogists, chemists. And what is unique about this material, Kara, is that it has these very small, fine pores that allow for these polyaromatic hydrocarbons to be selectively captured. So in the wood chips, if you put these clinoptilolite, which is popularly called as clinozeolites, then these materials, they're like charcoal, essentially. We know that we use charcoal to remove odors, pet odors, for example. So this clinozeolite, essentially, it captures these polyaromatic hydrocarbons, especially the group 1, like the BAH, and it adsorbs them. And so the smoke that you see has less of these known polyaromatic hydrocarbons. Very simple to do. Just add some zeolite in a powder form or in pellets, and it will capture essentially all, many or most of the known carcinogens and the potential carcinogens.
And now taste testers say it actually tasted better, too.
Absolutely. So what was intriguing for me was also that not only did they do a very thorough, quantitative experiments to prove that these this naturally occurring zeolite can be used to capture PAH, but they also subjected a panel of 12 experts. So they looked at chicken brined in smoked water and cream cheese mixed with smoked tomato flakes. And so these were...
You're making me hungry, Dr. Kay.
So these were, yeah, absolutely. These are culinary experts who looked at the food that was either filtered or unfiltered smoke. And so the zeolite, although it captures these harmful carcinogens, it still retained the flavor and the smoke flavor that this tart, this potent, spicy, smoky smell that we associate with barbecued food materials was still retained. And so this doesn't cause people to have food that is tasteless.
And so where does one buy these zeolite pellets?
So these are actually used by farmers a lot for removing agricultural waste, especially urea, that is a waste that is coming from these animal feed products. So these zeolites come in various shapes, actually, Kara. In fact, the water softeners that we use at home is another form of zeolites. It's a particular form of zeolites that removes calcium ions and magnesium ions, these so-called hard ions. This clino zeolite is a slightly different form of zeolites, but like I said, they are mined, they naturally occur, and so one should be able to buy it, especially in any shop that has agricultural products.
And so this discovery could have a pretty big impact on the food industry, do you think?
Yes. So what was also interesting about this work was not only were the authors exclusively from the University of Reading at UK, but they also worked with food consultancy companies and another private company in the United States called Beesmoke Limited. So there's opportunities for the food industry to incorporate some of these filters in their commercial smoking units. So traditionally what the food industry does to minimize PAH, so for example, if we buy some smoked dry goods from stores, what they do is they actually do the smoking process, but they actually have an aerosol, like a mist of these smoke go through a water to remove as much of the PAH. And so they try to purify the smoke by removing the PAH as much as possible. But then one can't label these food as naturally smoked. And so when someone wants to buy something that has this distinct smoke flavor, this is a natural way to also market food products, because essentially during the smoking process, you're minimizing these PAH exposure to the food products.
And so how do we educate people as to what they need to do to make their grilling season and smoking meat season more healthier?
So one of the things is, you know, obviously if you're dealing with meat, you need to cook them well, but the temperature is actually one of the criteria. You don't want to overcook food when you have these black charred food materials. Those tend to have a lot more of PAH, and that's why it's important to also control the temperature of when you barbecue. So setting the right temperature to that will minimize the formation of these PAH is one easy method. So temperatures, typically it is known that temperatures below 450 degrees centigrade may limit the formation of PAH, but the downside is that the flavor that one wants to get also is minimized. So the easiest thing for us to do is to not to overcook material and cook it between 425 to 450 degrees centigrade. So you don't have many of these black polyaromatic hydrocarbons and these tar-like material stuck to the food.
So you don't want to burn your meat.
Absolutely, yep.
But when you so grilling on a grill versus smoking meat in a smoker, two different kind of techniques. How do you do the difference there?
So I think, you know, sometimes when we do grilling, it once again comes to a consumer's choice. Some of us like to have our food with this distinct smoky flavor, and so the question then becomes, how do you also minimize your exposure to PAH? And so it's a trade-off, taste versus convenience and one's own personal taste buds, if you will, and choices.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what are you grilling this weekend?
Well, actually, I'm traveling back home for 3 weeks, so I'm excited by my upcoming trip.
Okay. Well, safe travels to you, Dr. Kay. I really appreciate you taking time and coming on the program today.
Well, thank you, Kara, as always. It's a great pleasure to be on SDPB.